and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Pastor Jadeen Tuine experienced the painful loss of her first husband and testifies of trusting God's plan in any circumstance life brings and what it means to triumph through our darkest times. You ever experience some dark moments in life? Ever feel like you can't get out from where you are? Ever feel like you've got some load that's shackled you and you can't move forward the way that you feel you should? Well, we've got good news for you today. That's why we have the Good Life Radio Show. It's to remind you that however dark things might be, however difficult you might feel your circumstance has hemmed you in, there is always hope in Jesus Christ. There's always purpose found through him. And that's why Jesus loves you so much. He loves you, my friend. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ calls you to himself today, as he has touched and strengthened Pastor Jadeen, as she will share. She serves under the leadership and direction of Apostle J. Amina Sr. at the Ark of Safety Christian Fellowship as an associate pastor. She's earned her bachelor's degree in Hawaiian Pacific Studies and is completing her MBA. With a heart of compassion for the lost, Pastor Jadeen is the director of Ark of Safety Christian Academy and oversees the administration of businesses and ministries in the organization. As a mother of three daughters and a son, her life is now made complete with her husband, Mark Tuine. They reside in Waianae. Pastor Jadeen, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Waianae.
What was it like for you growing up in Waianae?
Well, growing up in Waianae, let's see, football is big in Waianae, and sports is big in Waianae. So growing up in Waianae, it's a pride thing. You feel good to be from Waianae because in our family, everything is sports. And so growing up in Waianae, it's good to know that we come from a community that excels in sports, good people with good hearts. So growing up in Waianae, that's what it was all about for me. And it was just fun to know that we were involved in sports, but not only that, we were involved in ministry. Mm. And so it was I'm proud to be from Waianae, and it was an exciting time to grow up in the community.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would say my parents are a great influence. They were a great influence in my life and continue to be an awesome influence on my life.
Apostle Jay and Pastor Jerry Amina.
Yes.
Why? Why were they so influential to you?
First of all, I think that they set a good example for me as a husband and a wife. I not only am able to hear about what life should be like as a couple or a husband and a wife, but I was able to grow up and see it firsthand that my parents don't just maybe speak of what life maybe should be like in being raised in God and how we should be treating our spouse or how what a happy family should be. But I would like to say that I saw firsthand a great example of what life should be. And so I kind of always strive to want to build a life that they had portrayed for me with my family, always living a balanced life. I would say they taught my my siblings and I live a balanced life. I've, of course, love God first, and we saw firsthand how our parents loved each other. And
give us a glimpse.
Yes.
Of the balanced life. You see, you speak of something that I think is very ideal. When a couple in marriage have children that see in marriage, in the home, everything comes out. I mean, it is what it is. It is life. And when you hear of children testifying of their parents' love for one another, and they're in the ministry, there's a contrast, because there are instances where people are in the ministry and the children see a duality in their life. Mm-hmm. Duality is a soft way of saying hypocrisy mm-hmm. in their life. But there was a continuity that existed in you, a wholeness that I sense in you. So talk to us about what you mean by balance, balance that you saw in dad and mom, and balance that you live in your own life.
Well, first of all, I thank God for delivering my parents and saving my parents at a young age. I understand now, through maybe messages that my parents bring forth, or trainings, counseling, leadership classes, marriage classes, of some of the things that they had went through prior to my father being saved and born again. And a lot of the things that he speaks of, my siblings and I have never saw. So, for instance, God saved him from being not just a drug addict, but a drug dealer. And growing up, we never knew that our dad was a drug addict and a drug dealer. We never knew that, because we never saw that. There are times where he and my mom would get into what we call heated discussions. They don't say arguments, they say heated discussions. Uh-huh. But we've never saw my dad hit my mom. We never saw their heated discussions flare up to a point where it was bad for the environment of my siblings and I. So just seeing how my dad would handle his temper and my mom would handle the situation, for us, when we hear them share of what God delivered them from, we're in awe, because the things they shared, that they the life they came from to the life we saw growing up, it's two different lives. Mm. And so when they share with people about how God not only can save them, but God can change them, my siblings and I are a witness to how, if that's what they were, mm-hmm. we only saw the change.
So you've seen the grace and the power of God.
Yes.
It says there is a wholeness, I think, that comes through a level of consistency. You talk about balance, and then, of course, growing up. How about for you, Pastor Jadine? How did you become a Christian? And I'm saying that knowing that you grew up in a home that, you know, dad and mom are in the ministry. But how did you come to that place where you experienced a relationship with Christ?
Because growing up in the ministry, it was never a burden. Hmm. And we never heard. There is times when growing up in a ministry can be challenging, and serving in a ministry can be challenging. But the challenge is that I now see as a leader in the church, or serving in a leader, we never knew of some of the corrections that may have been made, some of the challenges that came about. All we knew was serving God was fun. And my mom and my dad would make it. My dad always believed, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So things mm-hmm. that my mom, places that my parents traveled to do ministry, my brother and I always went. And then my younger siblings that came later, we always went. So everywhere my parents went to do ministry, we went.
Where are some of those places that you got to go?
We traveled every year to Molokai. We would go, my father would call it his stomping grounds of learning ministry, and we mm. would go out there and minister and pray for people. Firsthand, we saw people that were demon-possessed. And many people would differ and say it might not have been a great place for kids to go, but we grew up in the ministry, being in different areas, and we learned from different things that they did of what we're supposed to be doing and not. And so we went to Molokai, we saw things like that. We traveled to Maui, traveled to the Big Island, traveled to California, different places in the mainland, where our parents was a part of a singing group. So almost like a praise and worship team, but they're a part of a group called the New Creations. And they went around singing and ministering. So my brother and I had the opportunity, being the two older children, to go around with them and see ministry firsthand. And I'd like to say that's how we fell in love with ministry itself.
What did you learn when you traveled with them? Young, innocent eyes, excited eyes. What lessons did you learn?
All we knew back then was the only way of life was serving God. That was fun. That was the only way. We didn't know any other way.
It's a lifestyle.
It was our lifestyle. Everything that we did, it was part of our life. We played sports. I mentioned earlier, we're a big sports family. But we knew that when it was Sundays or when it was Wednesdays, when it was God's time, that was a priority in our family's life. So my dad made it a point to set a priority in serving God and doing what we needed to do. But yet, we would be involved with karate, we would be involved with football, with soccer, cheerleading. And that's what I meant by the balanced life.
Thank you for explaining that or elaborating on that. Just sharing just a glimpse of what it's like. Because especially today, see, the anchoring that your parents gave in the formation of your character, the formation of your vision and your expectation and what you were going to pursue and what you're in now is a great example, I think, to many of us, many young families, many parents who have to make decisions with their children. It's not easy, but decisions have to be made. But the priorities, it's even convicting. But of course, as you know, dear listener, as we're in this time together, we're not here to push you away, to condemn you. Oh, hey, look, even me, I'm getting convicted too, just listening to what the Lord has done. But conviction is not to condemn. It's to build up, to strengthen, to encourage, to nurture. It's conviction, there's a nurturing component to it in the Lord to make things better. And you'll hear more about making things better when we come back with Pastor J. Dean. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Hey, one of the greatest examples is when you hear about a family in ministry that they do it right. How can you tell? Well, one of the ways you could tell is, well, you look at the kids. Sometimes I say, well, if you want to see what kind of a husband a man is, well, you look at his wife. If over time she's blooming, you know, over the years, there's a grace, a peace. Well, then that brother of ours is doing a great job. If things are wearing on her, well, we need to encourage our brother. Well, same thing with the kids. We look at the kids. Now, keep in mind, I understand, myself included. Nobody has perfect kids. No family is perfect. We all have setbacks, challenges. But over time, collectively, when you see a family, a child, you know, growing in the Lord, loving the Lord, coming back to the Lord, it says something. And of course, all these things happen by the grace of God. And Pastor Jadine Tuine has had the privilege of being raised well under Apostle Jay Sr. and Pastor Jerry Amina at Ark of Safety Fellowship in Waianae. She has gone through a time that few have gone through and none of us would want to go through. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show, and that's why we contrast. Even the struggling moments could be part of the good life in Christ. You can find out more about our program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get this program in its entirety for free if you're tuning in right now. Find out more about our resources there. And to find out more about Ark of Safety Fellowship, Ark of Safety, AOSHawaii.com. AOSHawaii.com. Pastor Jadine, talk to us, share with us about a man named Kalani.
Well, Kalani was my first husband. We were married on February 20th, 1999. We have four beautiful children together, Nanea, Jenna, Nalia, and Kalani Boy. So he's Kalani the third. We were brought up in ministry together, got married, served in ministry. We serve at Ark of Safety as a youth pastors for a total of 14 years. We served as the youth pastors there. My first husband, again, Kalani, was also the men's leader of the church. While doing the youth ministry, we were getting ready to open a youth center out there in Waianae for the community and the teens of Waianae. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to open it together. Back in March 2011, we were having a men's event of which Kalani was the leader of it, and they planned a tennis tournament at the Waianae Boat Harbor. Unfortunately, during that night, after the tennis tournament, they played their first match, and after he won his first match, he passed away with a massive heart attack at our men's event.
How did you find out about it?
I actually came down to the event to assist him with the food. So prior to him passing, about 15-20 minutes, I was there. I walked away for a little bit. They did their tennis match, and I walked away for a little bit because my baby had spilled juice on his clothes. So I said, you know, I'm going to take him to the car, change his clothes. I'll be back. I walked to the car to change his clothes, and my sister ran. And she said, you know, JD, you have to come right away. Something's wrong. And I said, what's wrong? I was changing my baby in the car. She said, you have to come right away. By the time I turned around and looked and I went to walk, I saw someone laying on the ground. But the clothes looked all too familiar. Mm. And the people that was standing around. And as I walked, I knew that was him on the ground. He had collapsed and, again, massive heart attack.
Was there any sign of this possibly happening? Did he have a heart condition? Were there any warning signs?
5 years prior to this happening. He was having I guess it was like he felt like if his heart was racing. Mm-hmm. So we rushed him several times
like
to the ER.
Palpitations.
Yes. And at the time, we didn't know that he was diagnosed with what was called AFib, or irregular heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know. And the cardiologist that he was seeing at the time kind of just wrote it off to us verbally as, well, he's young. He's young. You know, he's going to be okay. And it could be just like anxiety. And we didn't know to the extent of exactly what it was until a couple of months prior to his passing. He had a bad cold, and rushing him back to the ER, they told us go back to see the cardiologist. He again told us he was healthy, you know, he should be fine, but just the way he was for maybe 2 months before that, I knew something was wrong, because we went to the ER, they couldn't find anything. So we asked him to do an x-ray. And right before leaving, they said, well, you know, we think he might have congestional heart failure. Mm-hmm. And so he put him on some medications, and he went on with taking medications, went back to see the doctor 2 months prior to passing. The doctor said, well, you know, you're looking good, well in health. We're going to take you off from one of the medications. Well, he passed on a Friday. The Monday after was when he was set to go back for another checkup mm-hmm. with a cardiologist, but he had passed prior to going back. And so we knew that he had congestional heart failure, but I didn't know at the time what possibly could have happened to my children and I.
Janine, how did you see him there, you go there, with the suddenness of everything, how did you process what you were experiencing?
When I saw him laying on the ground and I saw them doing a CPR on him, I knew by looking at him that he was gone, by just looking at him. But in my heart, I cried out to God immediately. And I said, God, this cannot be happening. We have 4 children at the time. My oldest was 8 and my baby was 15 months. He just turned 1. And I remember screaming and saying, God, this cannot happen. This is not supposed to be. You gave me these children. My oldest daughter was adopted. Doctors told us that we couldn't have children. So she's adopted. We raised her to be our child. She's very much my daughter, just like the rest. But after adopting her, 5 years later, God opened my womb, and I thought that I had the flu. Mm. He opened my womb, and when doctors said we couldn't have children, 2007, I gave birth, 2007. March 12, 2007, I had my first biological daughter. April 3rd, 2008, I had another daughter. December 18, 2009, I had my son. Mm. So God opened my womb and allowed me to have 3 children right in a row. And my son just turned 15 months, and I said, God, how can this be? How can I lose the father of my children? After not being able to have children, and the thing about it was, is my children were there. They were there at the boat harbor. They were there at the tennis courts when this had happened. Hmm. And so I remember grabbing my children after saying, no, this can't be happening. Call the ambulance, call the fire station, something's wrong. They said, we called them, they're on their way. I grabbed immediately my next reaction was, where's my kids? Grab my kids. And I remember taking them and running towards the bathroom at the boat harbor. I sat on the ground and they were crying, Mommy, something's wrong with Daddy. What's wrong with Daddy? My babies were crying. And I said, I'm not sure, but we're going to sing. And the only thing that I knew at that time was say the name of Jesus. And we sang the song, and we kept on singing the song and singing the song. And the ambulance came, pulled in, the fire trucks pulled in. And they put him on the gurney, started to take him, and they were telling me, you need to come. You need to come away. And my family, my sisters helped to take my children. I got on the ambulance and headed to the ER.
When you got there, got to the ER, in the ambulance, what was going on in your heart, in your mind?
There's a song that Pastor Clint Brown wrote, And it's when the sun says I won't rise and dark clouds fill my skies, Lord, just know that I will always praise your name. And I remember turning around in the ambulance and my brother came at me because at the time, Pastor, my parents was not at home. My parents were at Seattle, Washington for a vision conference with Pastor Casey Treat. Mm-hmm. And so all I had at home was my siblings that spent the day with us because it was the day of the tsunami. Mm. So being that their homes are all in the flood line, they came up to our home. We live in a valley. So my siblings were home. My brother came in the ambulance with me, but the ambulance refused to move because they wouldn't let my brother and me sit in the front. But my brother didn't want to get out and leave me alone. Mm. And they said, I'm sorry, you need to leave. And I cried and I looked in the back and I screamed and I said, Kalani, it's going to be okay. We can do this. We just call on. And I started to sing the song really loud. And it took us no more than 3 to 5 minutes to get to the ER. But I just remember just crying out to God and saying, God, I need you. God, I need you. You know, this can't be happening. You know, I gave up my career after going to college, after having a good job. I was employed at the Waianae Coast Comprehensive Health Center. I said, God, I gave that all up to go back and give my life full time to your ministry. I gave that all up. You know, what more do you want? God, please don't take my husband from me. Don't take the father of my children, the only man that I've only known, always known. And loved, and I kept on crying. They took me there to the ER, sat me in a private room on the side while they wait. They worked on him. My brother and my sister, my brother Jay and his wife Kanani, she was a nurse at the time, were in the room or waiting right outside the room that they were working on him while I sat in the waiting room with now my grandma, my aunties, and some of our church people that started to come.
To sing a song. How did the song? Did it comfort you? Strengthen you? What? When you started to sing, how did you feel?
Growing up, Pastor, because we grew up going out and ministering to music and worship. All I know in my life is worship. All I know is for worship to pull me through. That's all I know, because that's how I grew up. And I remember just singing a song because I know that the presence of God lived in where I worship. And all came back to me was the songs that I grew up with. The songs that I knew, Lord, just know that I will always praise your name. And no matter what comes my way, I will always say, no matter, God. And for me, that was my hope. That was my answer. That was my anchor. It was my anchor, was worshiping God in the midst of the storms and believing that, God, you did it for me once, and I know you can do it again. And that's why for worship, anything with worship, this happened on a Friday night. And I remember, I'm going to go into later, but getting through the next 2 days and next days, that's what put me through.
We're gonna let's go there when we come back. Hey, these are moments when someone may have a very difficult time describing, even reliving, thinking, reflecting about it. But God inhabits the praises of his people. In the darkest moments, the light of Christ is seen and known, and it comes to worship, comes to singing the praises of his name. When we come back, more from Pastor Jadeen Twine. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Okay, what happens? What happens when you pray? What happens when you pray fervently? What happens when you pray desperately? What happens when you beg God in a moment? You never prayed as hard as you prayed in your life. And God doesn't answer the way that you want Him to answer. What happens to your relationship with God at that point? What happens to your faith? Does it weaken? Do you get confused? Do you get angry, resentful? Do you run away from God? Do you resent God? Do you hate God in a time like that? Or do you draw in closer? Well, today Pastor Jadine Tuine, before our break, was talking about a moment in the ambulance, taking her husband, Kalani, who had had a massive heart attack, taking him to the emergency room. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. If you're tuning in right now, I'm glad you're with us. Pastor Jadine is really doing something, sharing out of her heart, but it's a tremendous ministry to all of us, to you, dear one, to myself as well. Pastor Jadine, what went on in your heart and in your mind as you were in the ambulance crying out to God?
Let's just say that I don't know that I was at a state of shock. I can't still till today describe exactly what I was feeling, but I know I was at a time where everything stopped. everything stopped around me, to where all I knew was, I don't know what's going on, but God, you got to show up. I need you. I remember screaming, not just loud on the outside, but in my heart screaming and saying, where are you, God? Where are you? You know, where are you? And that's the biggest question that I think went on in my heart at the time. But I was saying, God, I need you. And I remember my parents, like I mentioned, were at a conference in Seattle, Washington. And I remember in that small moment of time from the ambulance ride to the ER, I called my mom. And I remember calling and calling and calling. But at the time, I didn't know, because they were in a conference, that they had an altar call for the leaders and the pastors. And they were getting their breakthrough at the time, that my parents had their phone and their iPads and everything on silent back at the seat while they were up at the altar at the conference getting their breakthrough as ministers and as pastors. And I remember just calling, and all I knew was to call out for prayer warriors that I knew were there for me the entire time. And that's the first people I said, you got to call this person, call this person. I told the people that was with me, call this person, call this person. And some of them were other men and women of God from other churches that I knew that stood in a gap for my family, my parents, and I knew them from ministry. And that's the first thing that came to my mind was, I got to call them. Because God, I know when they pray, you answer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's the first thing I thought of was, like, I got to call these people.
As you called and the word went out, what happened to Kalani?
Well, the doors open, the double doors open, and I looked up. And when the doors had opened, and I heard the doctor say, he said it, Mrs. Myers, and that was my last name at the time, married to Kalani. And I looked up, and I didn't see his face, but I saw my sister-in-law, Kanani. And it's my brother Jay's wife. And when I looked at her, just the way she looked at me, and I said, he's gone. He's gone, isn't he? And she looked, and she said, yes. And, you know, that was probably... the worst day that it's a feeling that you don't even want your worst enemy to feel. And I felt my body and I felt my soul broken. I call it broken in a million and one pieces. And that's the book that I'm actually writing about my feelings. And that's what I call it. It's broken in a million and one pieces. In a second, my life shattered in a second.
When your life shatters, I mean, everything just crumbles. Words become inadequate. How do you go on? How did you go on, Pastor Jadeen?
You know, Pastor, I don't know how people make it without God. You know, I lost my neighbor a few months after I lost my husband, and I saw the effect of the family going through the loss without God. And I thought to myself, I don't know how people make it without God, because I remember many nights crying out to God. I felt that I was living in a nightmare and a bad dream for months. And I literally every morning woke up saying, okay, this is the morning. I'm going to wake up from this bad dream. And I remember waking up, my natural time clock in my body, waking up every 4:30 in the morning, because that's the day he left to go to work. That's the time he left to go to work. So I remember every day continuously waking up at 4:30. And the sad thing was that he left the same time for work that my neighbors would leave. And it was going on that I would hear them leaving, but Kalani was never leaving. You know, and I remember every morning waking up and saying, okay, this is a bad dream. This is a bad nightmare. And yet I was still going to church. And I was a youth pastor. I was an associate pastor. You know, and as I was going on, all I know is that my the ease of my grief, or it's like taking ibuprofen and a Tylenol, and you know, the pain is there, but it subsides the pain for a little, was going to church. And I remember the Sunday after losing Kalani, just 2 days after, my parents came home this Saturday and they moved up and stayed with my children and I at our home. And I remember they got up that Sunday morning and my dad, being the dad that he was, although he was a senior pastor, he said, I'm going to stay with you. Your mom and I is going to stay with you. And my brother was assigned to bring message that morning. And when you experience a loss like this, it wasn't just me. It was his family. It was our church that had a big loss. And I remember a dear friend, a Pastor Yvonne Cruz, I told my mom and I said, I don't know why, but you got to call Pastor Yvonne. And she said, why? And I said, Mom, I just need to speak to Pastor Yvonne. See, Pastor, when you go through something like this that not many people has gone through, you don't want to talk to just anybody. And, it's nothing wrong, but you want to talk to somebody that went through what you went through. And so my greatest thing was I was so blessed by the comfort of my parents being there. My mom slept with me that night. We woke up the next morning. My dad stayed there with us. But I wanted to pour my heart out to somebody that knew exactly what I felt. And just to hear her voice, and she started to minister to me on the phone, and she just started to pray. And I looked at my mom and I said, I know that we said we're probably just going to stay back. I said, but you got to take me to the house of the Lord. I need to be in the service. And when we walked in the service, my brother was bringing a message. I don't know how he did it, but I know it was the grace of God upon him that could minister to the church that was grieving and crying at the time. When we walked in, you speak about the spirit of heaviness, but to feel the spirit of heaviness lifted off of you when you walked in into the presence of God is another thing. And that's what I felt just 2 days after. You know, Pastor, I got on the mic and I sang. There's a song that I sing. It's called He Sets Me Free. He lifted my soul. And I remember they were singing the song, but I remember grabbing the mic. And a part of the verse in the song is, when you're down and out and nothing is going right, just hold on, people, hold on tight. And I found my strength because when I was weak, the Spirit of God came upon me. And I began to minister and sing that song that Sunday. And while ministering to the people, I was getting already part of my healing and my breakthrough. It wasn't all beautiful. You know, it was an emotional roller coaster that I went through. But that was a start to what I knew when God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That was a start that he proved to me that he was there. And it made me continuously, in my down days and the times I didn't want to get up, I told myself, I gotta go. I gotta go. I gotta go.
Supernatural. Supernatural strength. Supernatural healing, supernatural empowerment. Hey, you're hearing of that from the heart of Pastor Jadine Tuine. A recollection, a reflection of the toughest, darkest time in her life, in the life of the family, in the life of the church, Ark of Safety, seeing the presence of God, knowing, feeling, experiencing the presence of God. For her, in the midst of the pain, when others turn away, for her to say, Lord, you are my Lord. Lord, I love you. Lord, I will praise you. Lord, I will serve you. You'll hear more from her. Pastor Jadine, when we come back, stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry.
plus a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Ark of Safety Hawaii. Okay, Ark of Safety Hawaii, AOSHawaii.com. That's how you can find out more about Ark of Safety Ministries. Our pastor Jay Dean serves there under the leadership and direction of Apostle Jay Amina Sr. and executive pastor Jerry Amina, AOSHawaii.com. Pastor Jay Dean has been sharing about a very, very hard to express, difficult time in life. The loss of her husband, Kalani. Pastor Yvonne, she mentioned a Pastor Yvonne before our break, and the way that the Pastor Yvonne ministered to her during this time of shocking loss. Pastor G. Dean, how did Pastor Yvonne minister to you?
Pastor Yvonne ministered to me because she was real. She didn't cover up anything, and she didn't come out.
And she had lost
her husband as well. Yes, and she has an awesome testimony. And when I say she was real, she shared with me the things that I would maybe be feeling, and the things that I would eventually, at this certain months, you may feel this way. And her comforting word was to me, it's going to be all right. And it's okay. She said, I know you're a pastor. Pastor Yvonne is being a pastor. I wanted to hear it from her because I was in a position where I'm a pastor. How can this be happening to a pastor? And so to hear her encouragement of it's going to be okay. Sometimes you might be angry at God. Sometimes you might even, question God. She said, take a deep breath. She said, and let him prove himself. She said, it's okay. It's for the time you've been in, you may feel like, some may say, and some may differ. Some may say, you cannot question God. Because when you grow up in the faith, sometimes, Pastor, we can be so legalistic. Mm-hmm. And people can say, don't question God. But if you don't know what we're going through, you don't know what it feels like. And I remember being said as well. I remember some of the brethren or the people in Christ would come up and they would say, he's in a better place. At the moment, Pastor, for me, better place was here with my children. Mm-hmm. Better place wasn't away. And, you know, we believe, you know, it's the blessed hope of every believer is to make heaven their home. True. But when you lose somebody, now I didn't just lose somebody. I lost him at a young age. We were, to me, just starting out life. Mm-hmm. And when they would say that, it almost was offensive to me because you don't know.
How can you say it?
How can you
say it? You're not going through what I'm going through.
Yes. And so, you know, I dealt with the point where people would say, well, you know, he's in a better place, or, you know, everything is going to be okay.
It sounds so flippant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just shallow when someone says it, almost insensitive.
Yes.
Right.
And they didn't know that they were sounding that way.
Right, right. They're not trying to be that way.
No, and you know, I had to come, and I thank God because I would share these things with my mom. She slept with me for, I'd like to say, 4 or 5 months. My dad loaned her to me. We were in the same house, but she slept in the same bed with me. Mm-hmm. And I remember many nights just crying out to her, and my dad was in another room and gave us a time. And, you know, I would say, you know, Mom, so-and-so came up to me today, and they said, you know, God makes, he allows... you know, these things to happen. It's going to be good. Good's going to come out because he allows good to come out of the evil. And, you know, and at that time, Pastor, I couldn't see any good. And I was a pastor. Mm-hmm. You know, and to be honest in this, I was going to church and people were calling. And still yet in the midst of that, the enemy tried to even come in and put depression upon me. Mm. Where at times when I would be alone, I would find myself saying, you know, I don't know that I can go through this anymore. I don't know that I want to go through this anymore. And I remember many times contemplating and said, you know, maybe I should just end it all myself because I don't know that I can take this anymore. And at the time, my oldest daughter was at Miley Bible Schools, and they would sing a song that was called He is Able, He is Able. And God would send her at the perfect time, and she would walk in front and she would sing, He is Able, He is Able. I know he is able. I know he is able to carry me through. And my daughter didn't know at the time that God was using her to pull me out of the depression right at the minute. Right at that minute. And so, you know, it was a battle. Like, again, I said in the beginning, it was a roller coaster ride. But then at the night times when I would feel lonely, I remember crying out and saying, God, I need you. I could sleep peacefully at night. Where I knew people that I would talk to and saying, I don't know, you know, I couldn't sleep for months. I could sleep peacefully at night. Though when I woke up, reality hit again. I remember saying, you know, I just want my life to be normal. And Pastor Yvonne said, you know, Jadine, you have to create the new norm. Because the normal that you were used to is no longer there. And, you know, that's why I meant by she was real, was she didn't... you know, say, oh, you know, yeah, you're right. She came out and said, you got to learn and you got to pull yourself to create the new norm. You know, what was normal back then was then, but God's going to help you create a new norm.
A moment, Pastor Jadine, somebody right now, someone may have lost their beloved spouse. They're listening to this in a moment of grief. They're listening in a moment of depression. What would you say? What would you say to them?
God is here. He's here. I felt myself many of times, like I said, when I was lonely, when I would immediately open my mouth and say, God, I need you. I literally could feel the Spirit of God wrap his arms around me at that moment. And when I say he's here, that sometimes when you're going through that time, it feels like I said, the question I said earlier, God, where are you? And you start to question, God, where are you? I learned later on throughout the months was passing, all along God was there. When I looked back and saw the times that I was on my bed by myself at night, because after 4 or 5 months, you know, I told my mom, it's going to be okay. Go home. It's going to be okay. Those nights, I learned that I slept with God. And all I knew was every time I would feel a certain way. For instance, I was working. I went back to work after a couple months. I worked with a secretary whose husband worked with Kalani. When it would come lunchtime, 11:30, he would call. And it was the same time Kalani would call me. And so while she was anxiously awaiting the phone call, phone call came. I sat on one end, not receiving the phone call anymore. And I remember sitting down in the midst of all of that and saying, God, man, if you're real, you got to show up. And then looking back, I realized how a couple seconds later, I was able to stand up, get through my day, and take care of my children, take them to school, pick them up, do what I needed to do. Because God showed up, even in my hurt, when it didn't seem like it was right, when it didn't feel like it was fair at all. I realize now that although I didn't know how I got from point A to point B at times, it was God that showed up and took me there.
And the Lord will show up and take you, my friend. He'll send a child, a dear child, to sing a song. He'll send a friend. He'll bring you to a radio, the internet, or you'll hear a message to remind you, to take you through, to hold your hand, to wrap his arms around you, to be by your side. Whether it's a loss of a loved one, whether it's a loss of an opportunity, whether it's a loss of resources that you had, whether it's a loss of hope, whether it's the death of a dream, the Lord is there. He sends Pastor Jadeen. Pastor Jadeen, you're married to Mark Tuine. We've got about a minute. How did it all come together in this man of God in your life?
Let's just say that after losing Kalani, I was not in no position to get married again. And I said, you know what? I believe God's coming back soon. And so I'm going to just live my life. And, you know, saying it and living it was two different things. And I share today that when God did what he did with Mark and I saw the healing of God immediately take place. Because I noticed that I smiled like I didn't smile in a while. And Pastor Yvonne was the one that confirmed. And she said, you're smiling again.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't know if you know what it is to feel your smile. But I felt my smile. And God started to do something. We were talking. Mark was a good friend of Kalani. And this was in no way ever planned. But between us. But I live by the motto now of trust the plan. Because although we didn't know what God had in store for us, I'd like to say God found grace and mercy upon my life to bless me with an awesome man today that not only serves God, but he loves my children and treats them as his own. And I found this to be true because he honored my children's dad by, in we dating, he would take us to the graveyard and we would sit. And, you know, I don't know of much people that would do that and then talk about the kids, talk about the dad to the kids and relive happy moments of, and he would share, you know, when your dad and I was doing this, this is where we went. And he told me one time, you know, before I loved you, I was in love with the kids. And for me, that was every bit of God telling me, you know, although you questioned me, God, where are you? I was here all along. And maybe your plans was not the plans that you wanted to take place, but you got to trust the plan that I have for you. Hold my hand and watch and see what I'm going to do in your life and through your life and now for your children and you, along with now your husband. And so I'd like to say, Pastor, that I'm highly favored.
Highly favored.
Highly favored.
Who was the last person Kalani saw before he went into eternity?
Well, I found, I believe it was a couple of months after Mark and I had gotten married. We were talking one night and I found, and I don't like to talk about the details of losing Kalani a whole lot, but we sat one night and we were talking and I knew that Mark was there because Mark had fell away from God from a little bit. And prior to Kalani passing that night, Kalani called Mark and said, hey, we're having a tennis tournament. I want you to come to the tennis tournament. I'm going to pay for you. I want you to be there. Well, Mark came. They were on the same tennis team. They won their match together. while walking towards the cooler to get a bottle of water. When Kalani reached over to grab the water, Mark was with Kalani. And all I know is that he looked up. I only knew that he put his head up. And I didn't know that Mark looked at him and said, "Are you all right? Is everything okay?" And he looked at Mark. He said, "No." He made his head no, and that's when he collapsed. I didn't know that Mark was the last to speak with him. I know that they were walking to the cooler together, but I didn't know what happened before he passed.
When God has a plan, He wants us to trust Him. Yes. He wants us to trust Him. Dear friend, are you trusting in God's plan? I ask myself today even, am I trusting in God's plan? Together with Pastor Jadeen, together with Mark, together, you, dear one, and me, us, let's trust in God's plan. Thank you so much for being with us today, for sharing your heart, for sharing your life. Pastor Jadeen Tuine.
You're welcome.
Dear one, I hope that you have been moved and encouraged as I have. Huh? Together, can we link arms and trust in God's plan? As Jadeen Tuine has shared her heart with us. You can find out more about her and her ministry, aoshawaii.com. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus, like Kalani did with Mark. If you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a presentation for you there. And of course, to stand with us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. You know what? I want to thank you in advance for your support. Isaiah 40:29, He gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Jadeen Tuine, aoshawaii.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.